In our last class, we saw this, that we're separated from God. You know, this idea of being separated from God because of sin. That in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. And we also see that in Romans 6:23, it tells us that the wages of sin is death. So you can see that because of this, because of sin, it says that, you know, that mankind is worthy of death. Like we looked at in our last class, and the point that Rocky had brought up as well in Romans, I think it was in 6:23. Yes, it was. Romans 6:23, where it said that the wages of sin, you know, he pointed out that this idea of wages, you know, is something earned. So if you think of it in that sense, as far as sin was merited, I mean, death was merited. I'll get it right here in a second. Death is merited. I had it right first time. So this idea that something that was earned or merited due to our sin. But the end of the verse says that the free gift of God is eternal life. So we see the idea of eternal life being provided through the grace of God. It's not something that we've earned. It is the opposite. It's unmerited. You know, the eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which also, just a note on y'all's lesson, y'all's copy on Romans 6:23, there was a typo. It was a typo. I didn't leave it off on purpose. But when I quoted that on there, I think I ended it with eternal life in Christ Jesus. I left off the our Lord part. So just a note if you want to pencil that in or whatever. I've already corrected the other copies. So we see this idea of this being eternal life being unmerited. It's something, it's a gift. Now, as we go on, we'll see that not all obtain that gift, but it is a gift that is offered. That's, you know, when you think about it, because of law and such, you know, that was the idea of earning or doing. We can't live perfectly. That's one of the problems that we have, and we'll see the answer to that problem as we go a little further in our lesson as well. Well, actually, right here too. So we see that this has been provided for all, but not all will partake in it. Remember what we looked at in our, I don't remember if it was the last class or the one before, the idea that we see in Matthew 7, that the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many that are going to enter through that. But the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and that there's few that find it. And in a future lesson, again, we're going to see how we put on Christ, how we receive this blessing. So we notice here that there definitely is a blessing, and that's kind of the way we're looking at this. When 'cause also in the lesson 8 that we're going to look at today, the way that I put it on there, you know, I just want us to see the idea of atonement. We're not addressing how you put on Christ at this point, but we'll see this idea. We're going to look at of atonement and forgiveness. So just something to keep in the back of our minds. We will get to that in a future lesson. And, you know, we have to not only put on Christ, which we'll look at, but we'll also see that there's a life that we have to continue to live. We'll have to live according to God's will, because we did look at some scripture in Ephesians, and you see that idea in one section. I think it's in 4, where it talks about the walk no longer, and you have the idea of how you don't walk and how you should walk. But we see this idea of there's a new life that we put on, a new way of living. So as far as this good news, because it is good news, you know, as we have looked at, without Christ, because that's, we're going to see that without Him, there is no way for salvation. There's only one way to overcome sin and death. So let's look at this idea of atonement. Now, I just put one definition on y'all's because it's closest to what some of the thoughts that we'll look at. But on, I'll read you just some of the other definitions that are out there when I looked up the word atonement on the Webster's Online Dictionary. They're all fairly similar. You know, it says the definition of atonement, reconciliation, and then it also goes into detail below that. It says reconciliation of God and humankind through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. On the dictionary.com, there's several little definitions. It says satisfaction, if I pronounce that right, or reparation for a wrong or injury, or amends. It also says the doctrine concerning the reconciliation of God and humankind, especially as accomplished through the life, suffering, and death of Christ. Another term is reconciliation. So although, you know, the one I put on everybody's copy, it's similar, but it says that it's, again, satisfaction, reparation. But we see this idea of reconciliation of mankind with God through Christ's self-sacrifice. Now, although we're not going to start off looking at Christ's sacrifice, we will get to that in this lesson. But I first wanted us just to look at, you know, how this term was used. How is atonement used? When I looked up the term atonement, I did a word search on it. That actual term, it came up 88 times in the, at least in the, I think I'm looking under the New American Standard, or it might have been the New King James. But it showed up 88 times all in the Old Testament. And then I noted a few examples on our list there. And I'm going to read over some of those, and we'll see, as we read through it, we'll just kind of listen, we'll see some of this reoccurring idea. Now, just keep in mind the things that we're looking at, these are might be different offerings or what, and that's not our main point. Our main point is this idea of we see there's an offering and this idea of atonement. In Exodus 29:36, it says, "Each day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement, and you shall purify the altar when you make atonement for it, and you shall anoint it and consecrate it." So you see this idea in there, this term offering for atonement, and then also make atonement. If you turn over to Leviticus, we'll look at Leviticus. I think most other ones I put on there. Yeah, those are. There are other places, but most of the other ones I just took from Leviticus. And Leviticus 14:19 it says, "The priest shall next offer the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed." So again, we see offering for atonement and make atonement. And just right next to it, one chapter over in Leviticus 15:15. It says, "The priest shall offer them one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement." So again, we're just seeing this recurring idea of there being a something that the priest is to offer, and that this offering is for atonement, or he is making atonement. Leviticus 16:6, it says, "Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, and he will make atonement for himself and for his household." So again, we see that idea, and it's similar in verse 11 also. It says that Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household, and he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. So you see this idea, and it's all throughout all these other verses. There are different types of offerings that you see when you're looking up that word atonement. It wasn't just used in that the sense as the sin offering. It was other offerings. The sin offering. When you look at how the word was used, you see that there's an offering in order to receive atonement. And the verses said that they would offer, or the offering for atonement, and then they would make atonement. So we see that with these offerings, they were to receive atonement. So they are receiving this forgiveness, or made clean. I need to see what I put on. And I left a part out on y'all. Right after where we just stopped, where we had the examples of Exodus and Leviticus, right up under there, in between the next section, you might just put Leviticus 4:20 and Leviticus 14:20. I apologize. I just noticed from my notes I didn't think I put that on y'all's. So, and I wanted to put these on there just because the idea of this forgiveness or made clean in Leviticus 4:20. And a lot of it real similar. It says, as he shall also do with the bull, just as he did with the bull of the sin offering, this he shall do with it. So the priest shall make atonement for them, and they will be, I'm sorry, and they will be forgiven. So we see the idea of forgiveness. In 14:20, a lot of the same terminology. The priest shall offer up the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be clean. Just looking at the idea of some of the terminology used after the atonement, so that he will be clean. When we just looked at the definition, we saw that it spoke about reconciliation. You know, that's this idea of reconciliation through Christ. So now that we looked at how the word atonement was used, we'll now look at the this idea of Christ as a atonement. Is there any comments or thoughts? Or if not, we'll go over to 2 Corinthians.
Just on the words, you know, back under the low wall.
Yes, ma'am.
We find it in Numbers 15, talking about the same thing about the burnt offerings and the sin offerings, that they may be forgiven. And then in that reading, you find about a person who is defiant, who is disappointed, and the sin offering, you know, was not going to cover. He was not going to be forgiven. So, you know, even back then, it had to have a willing heart attuned to, you know, favor from God instead of a defiant heart, not willing to follow
Good point.
The word of God. And, you know, he would be cut off and from the people. And, of course, in all sacrifices done on his behalf, you know, he could even bring a bull, but if his heart wasn't in it, you know, he
right.
it wasn't accepted.
Right, so that's a good point. Even back then, we had to have the right attitude, which is something that we're still today, you know, because if our attitude isn't right, you know, just like baptism, it's not just because they got in the water, you know, it's based on why they're doing it. And, you know, because if you baptize somebody that didn't believe and, you know, they're not doing it for that purpose, then basically they just got wet. So we see that. That's a good point, Linda. Our attitude in all these things is very important. So it's not only just the sacrifice itself. And remember, this sacrifice that we're talking about with Christ, this was provided for all. So in order for us to put that on, it's going to have to do with our attitude, and then also the life that we have to live the after we've done that. Okay, in 2 Corinthians 5, look at 5:18 through 19. It says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them." Now it said that God reconciled them to himself through Christ. And then, further in the verse, we see, namely, God in Christ was reconciling the world. So that's, you know, that's all. But again, like I pointed out a few minutes ago, we're going to see this idea, when we're looking at some of these things, it says all, but as we go further, we're going to have a better understanding of what that all means, because we just looked at the narrow path and the wide path, so we know it's not all. So what do we mean by that? And, you know, it's all of those that will trust in this and that will put on Christ and live in that way. So it says, we see this idea of forgiveness or being reconciled, this reconciliation. It says that not counting their trespasses against them. So trespasses, we know this, that the idea of I lost the term I was looking for. But we can overcome sin. You know, we can overcome sin through Christ. And again, we're going to talk more about that in another lesson. In Hebrews, let's turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews 10:4. Oh, I got ahead of myself. Hang on. Let's go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9:22. I'm going to read Hebrews 9:22 through 26. It says, "And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands and a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of itself." So we're going to see this idea of shedding of blood. Well, we have looked at that. That's when we were looking at the other sacrifices. That was some of that was the on the sin sacrifice was the shedding of blood. But we see this idea of this better sacrifice, this perfect, you know, that although it was something that was done beforehand, and we're going to read some of the verses where we see this idea of a shadow of the things to come. I think, well, just one verse. So let's look at Romans 5. Romans 5:8-11 says that, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. In that short little section, we see the idea of reconciled and reconciliation, and some other terms, justified, saved. Verse 9 says it's by His blood. So we were justified by Christ's blood. And that shows, it says here that's what saved us from the wrath of God. Remember, we were separated from God. So while we're separated from God, we're subject to His wrath. And through Christ, through His blood, through that sacrifice, you know, we can overcome sin. We can be saved through that. And it says that, in verse 10, it says, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled." So, again, just this idea of being able to overcome. Somebody have a... No, okay, I thought I heard something.
Well, Craig, in talking to folks about this concept of atonement, that's an important point to make, is while we're yet enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people see themselves as just not capable of being loved by another, maybe another person, much more or less their God, so... Because of what they've done in their life.
Yeah. You mean like, I mean, just to have better understanding what you mean. Some people think, well, you don't know my life, I've just done too much. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, and we hear that, and the sad thing is we have examples of men that, you know, it shows that the forgiveness that God has, you know, for someone that's going to have the right heart and try to turn their life around and live for God. I mean, we have examples of David, the sin that he had done. I mean, with Bathsheba, and he had put a man to death. But we see that, you know, that can be overcome. And we think about Paul. He was an enemy of Christ. And think about the examples we have of him with you know, all the books that he's written, and it just shows how he changed his life. I mean, as far as what the gospel meant to him and what he was willing to do for the gospel, I mean, he proved it by the things that he gave up and by being imprisoned and, you know, all that he went through. And especially think about that imprisonment. It couldn't have been something that was fun, but you think about his attitude we see in his letters, because the gospel meant more to him than the things that he was going through. You know, that was the very thing he says that strengthened him. You know, he said that he could do all things in Christ. But you're right, Craig. People just, they think that they've made too much of a mess of their life. And we can overcome any of that if we're willing to.
And it's the covenants for the Christian also, is that while we were yet in that state, not deserving of anything, Christ died for us. And God was well pleased with His Son and for the plan that He had. And now that has taken place, I think is what this passage is pointing out. Is that even more so now,
mm-hmm.
that Christ has died for us, that we have that, we can be confident that we've been swerved from the wrath of God, that we're saved through Jesus. We can have confidence in the love of God.
Okay.
I think that's one of the themes in the overall Bible as well. You're talking about people don't think God can save them if they've done so bad.
Mm-hmm.
One of the themes is God can do the what we think is impossible.
Right.
I mean, all the situations the Israelites were in where there's, you know, no way we can defeat this enemy, and then God come and save them. That's the message you have to get to us. You know, you see it hopeless,
Yeah, he provides a way. Yes, sir.
You know, Craig, I think sometimes it's a belief problem. Sometimes the getting through things and some of the things that we've done in the past, maybe we have a hard time forgiving ourselves and getting to a point where we believe what the Bible says, what God's Word is saying to us. We have a problem with that, I think, sometimes.
Okay. Good point. And also, and then, and just kind of on that thought, what does that tell us, though, if we've, because I think about some people, they've messed up. They changed their life, you know, but then they still, it's okay to reflect back on things. I think it's good, you know, to reflect back, to remember where you came from, because that'll help strengthen you. But you, I mean, because Paul even did, but you don't reflect back to the point where you're hindering yourself, you know, because you've been forgiven. If you have asked for that and, you know, you're living like you should, I think some people continue to, I don't have the right term, but they just, you know, they just keep beating themselves up. And what does that tell us if we believe that we are forgiven, and, you know, because it says that we are, if we act upon these things, if we, you know, depending on if you put on Christ, or if you're one that already has and, you know, you've done something wrong, but if you're trying to turn your life around and you ask for forgiveness, we've got to trust and believe that we're forgiven. So I think some people kind of get in a rut too, where they just re-look over it over and over. Now, if it's something you're continuing to do that you didn't really totally repent of, well, that's a different situation. But yeah, I think some people kind of get stuck in that as well.
People in that situation, they need to read 1 Timothy 1, 12-14, or 15, where Paul was telling Timothy that, you know, he was formerly a blasphemer and persecutor and violent aggressor. Mm-hmm. Also, look, I did all these bad things.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I was showing mercy. Yeah. He says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I'm foremost.
Yes, sir.
Would you draw a screen from that?
Yeah. Somebody over here have some?
I was going to say, when we are sitting down and talking about the concept of atonement and explaining, and they accepted the idea that they do need to turn their life around, we also need to make sure that we explain that even once you've turned your life around and you've accepted Christ and you've changed your life and you've been baptized and you're trying to live a life according to Christ's example, that we are not perfect,
right,
and that we are still going to make mistakes, and he understands that. But as long as we keep trying and ask for forgiveness when we do make mistakes and when we do realize we make mistakes.
Yeah, First John, I think.
Right. That it's going to happen. You know, you're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. There was only one perfect person.
Right. Right. That's a good point, because if they don't understand that and they're a new Christian, that can be harmful, can it?
If we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us, and we make him a liar.
Some people think the cost is too much. I'm not going to be able to be the goody two shoes, you know.
Yeah.
Which leads to the other point. I thought of the Pharisee and the tax gatherer who went to pray. And, you know, talking about I'm so bad, then the other side of that coin is that we can even fall into the self-righteousness, you know, I'm good and I don't do all those things, and so why do I need, you know. Well, Jesus said that the guy who said, God be merciful to me, the sinner, went down to his house justified. Not the publican, I mean the Pharisee who said, I give tithes and I do this, you know. He saw himself as a good person.
He was thinking too highly.
Yes, there's a lot of good people out there who don't reach out for the gospel. They're good people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we all need it because we're all sinners. And you know, we can fall into a self-righteousness that will just lead straight to hell, as bad as the person who says, I can't overcome all this.
Yeah, good point.
Craig, to Jeff's point, it is a matter of faith. We have two good examples in Peter and Judas.
Okay.
Peter denied the Lord three times.
Yes.
What he did was just as bad as what Judas did. And the Lord had even told him he was going to do it, and he did it anyway. But Judas just gave up. He did not have faith and trust that Jesus would forgive him and be his atonement. Or Peter did. And he went on to do great things. Was he perfect? No. When the Gentiles came, he wouldn't eat. I mean, when the Jews came, he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. And it was so bad that Paul even had to withstand him to the face, he said in Galatians. Told him he's doing wrong. But he kept on. You know, he didn't say, oh boy, this is the second time I've really messed up, I just give up. No, you get back up and you do the things that you know that are right because we have faith in who Jesus is and what he says.
Good point. A lot of good points. Oh yeah, we did that one. Lost my spot, sorry. one of the things that we looked at were but a shadow of the things to come. And you know, this sacrifice for that we the sacrifice of Christ is this better sacrifice, perfect. In Hebrews, let's take a look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 1, it says, for the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never be by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. So this idea of shadow of things to come, and then in Hebrews 10:4, just a couple verses up, it says, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So we'll see this idea of Christ, and you know, the sacrifices that we see in the Old Testament were just a shadow of the things. But you know, at this point, everybody understands what atonement is. You know, they understand what sacrifices are. And then when you talk about the sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God, then you know, you see this idea of this forgiveness that we have in Christ. In John 1, in John 1:29, about the mid part of the verse, you see it says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now this is just something that he was saying, but the idea here is we see the idea of the Lamb of God and this that through him the sin of the world can be taken away. And of course, like we've already mentioned, it's that, you know, it's going to depend on those that it's conditional. So it's going to depend on those that are willing to trust in it, that have that faith and are willing to do what is needed to put on Christ. I think we're going to stop at, we'll pick up at 1 Peter. We'll look at 1 Peter 1 in our next class. Thank y'all for your comments.